Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, I mean, we have talked more recently than, let's say, Marco Rossi and the Wild, but it does still feel like it's been a while since we chatted, Marty. How are you? Welcome back.
It has been a while, but yes, I'm doing great. The last time we talked, we were in about as opposite direction in the continental
U.S. You've inched closer. I've reeled you in.
I've inched a little closer. I'm back in my studio at home, but you're still out, which is a good thing. And I missed yesterday because I was at the Brooks TLC golf tournament. So this is the hospital systems of the Northern Chautauqua County, Dunkirk, Fredonia. And what an amazing event, number one, Duffer. Rob Ray and I went out there representing the Sabres alumni and the Sabres, and Andre Reed and Joe DeLemler were there for representing the Bills. And I have never really met Andre Reed. Like, I maybe have shaken his hand one time, like, hey, how are you doing?
Really?
Crossing over. And so we were there early, like about 9:30 in the morning. The event technically didn't start until 10:30, and we still had plenty. I got to talk to him about where he lives in San Diego, golf, football.
That's
amazing.
Where I am.
I know. So exactly, that's where you are. But like, I really enjoyed. Like, I know Thurman Thomas a lot more because I've seen Thurman around a lot. I, you know, next Monday I'm at the Jim Kelly golf tournament. I've got to meet Jim and you know, talk to him a little bit, whatnot, but never with Andre. And I was so impressed with Andre Reed. And number one, he's in an unbelievable shape, right? He is about as thin and strong looking, great golfer, but now just talking about football and even training camp now. And he was talking about when they used to go to training camp in Fredonia down the street from Dunkirk. And it was such a fun event of great people there. It was amazing. But the time I got to spend with Andre Reed was really cool.
Which hole were you on yesterday?
So we were at the, let me see. I want to make sure I give you the right name of the golf course. It's let me just go back. It was the Shorewood Country Club. So that's right on the lake, yep. Right on Lake Erie.
I think our co-host yesterday, Chris Baker, was referring to it and having just played it recently too. So,
okay. So perfect. So I was on hole number 15. So I was at a par three. And basically, I would tell the groups, hey, if you have an extra ball in the golf cart, I will hit it. And then you pick it up if it's not good. And if it's good, you're going to use it for your putts or whatever. It was 195-yard par three. And it was probably playing more like 210, 215. So whenever there was a group of ladies that would come in and then they had a shot from 130, I was pretty happy. I would go and join them in the four tees from 130 and play it from there. But it was hot. A good friend, Mike Gilbert, that used to work with the Sabres as the PR guy, he was there. And so let's just say, Duffer, my hole, there was a little bit of a backup. Because we're talking, I'm signing autographs, taking pictures, there's that, the other thing. It's 195-yard par three. Like, it's not going to be played fast. Most people are off the green, chipping on the green. Uh-huh. And, you know, so Gibby is like two or three groups behind, sitting like in this cart in the shade. And all of a sudden I hear, Marty, stop talking. Let's go. And people are looking back at him like, who is this guy that's chirping Marty Buron over there? Not knowing. So I'm chirping him back. We had, it was a great event. Now, I was on hole 15. Rob Ray was on hole 6, not far from us. Rob Ray station was the Jello shot station. They had Jello shots for all the people. And, you know, Razor doesn't drink, so
but he would consume Jello. So did they have the NA version?
The NA version of the Jello shots would be good. But he put about 8 Jello shots in a little Ziploc bag and he sent them over my ways. I'm like, are you gonna give me a ride home? I'm like, is that why you're doing this? So anyway, I had the one margarita Jello shot. And I can attest that that would have been a dangerous station to be at wanted to do jello shots.
So did you use a different club throughout the day?
Yes. So I started with a 4-iron, went over the green my second shot, and I was like, okay, everybody's telling me land it short, let it roll on. But the big thing is somehow it was really wet. So if you landed it short, it died short before the green. So I went from 4-iron to then I went to a 5. I don't like my 5 all that much. I wasn't hitting it well. So then I went to a 6. I kept getting like landing short and it wasn't rolling on. So I went back to my 4 and took some off a little bit. I probably had 2 shots that were between like 5 and 10 feet from the pin. I had about a dozen that were in the middle of the green. So that was not too bad out of 30 some shots.
It's such a funny game, right? Like for whatever reason, you don't like your 5-iron, which is, I get it. Things have changed over time, but it was built as one of the most favorable clubs as a starting golfer, right? Like you're learning, just use the 5-iron, right?
Well, you had a 3, 5, 7, 9 exactly. Like on your original set, you didn't have the odd numbers. You had the odd numbers, and the 3 was hard to hit. So the 5 was the one that you could, okay, I'll just use my safe club, the 5-iron.
Exactly, the safe club. And I'm envisioning it perfectly, how you're hitting the 6 sweet every time, and it keeps coming up short, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But then for you to revert back to the 4 is hilarious to me. And of course, you know what club I would use in those conditions. I'd probably be, if I was feeling really strong, it would be a 3-wood. But if I was defeating myself like I do on a regular basis, I would have been using driver unapologetically.
No, like, but tee it up a little bit so it goes up in the air and lands soft, right? But there was some really good golfers that came through and had some really nice shots. So yes, there was a ton of
if there was no wind, I would have been doing 5-wood. It's my favorite club. So
You may have done the 5-wood with a little downwind. There was a little downwind that was pushing it, but it didn't really make the hole shorter. So anyway, it was awesome. There was a VIP event before that. Got to meet some great people there. A lot of their physicians from that, you know, the Brooks TLC, like hospital group, were there. I met, an oncologist. I met a pain management doctor, physician. There was really some good people. I met a back guy. It was great. Like they had some of their physicians on the course. So if anybody needed something, and Tim Graham from The Athletic was also on my hole. And one hole, he wasn't hitting balls. He was just hanging out, telling stories or whatnot. We're talking about Bill's camp. And one guy goes, Tim, go ahead, hit a shot. And Tim goes, I haven't hit a shot in 10 years. He goes, go ahead, hit a shot. He hit a shot. He goes, oh, my neck cracked like in about 15 different places. And we're like, we have physicians on the course. Let's bring him on. He's like, I'm good. He goes, it felt like I just went to the chiropractor. So I got to, Tim Graham and I, like he covered the Sabres back when I played. So we were telling stories about, the 99, playoffs, the cup run. You know, when they snuck me into the Air Canada Center at the time, because everybody wanted to know if Dom was going to play or not for game 1 and 2 of the conference finals. So we had a good time with the fans there, and it was definitely really good. And so that was yesterday, Duffer. But when I last talked to you on Friday, I was in Northampton, Massachusetts, because my one daughter had a horse show, and it was the day before my son Jacob's 21st birthday, and he was driving up to Northampton. And I want to say it was an eventful 24 hours with Jacob celebrating his 21st birthday at the horse show it's rare that me and all the kids and everybody, like we are all in the same location, but we're all there, the 6 of us. And it was, you would have been proud. You would have been really proud of how we celebrated that night.
I did not know they serve. I'm assuming that's what you're insinuating. I did not know they serve at these horse shows.
Oh, not only did they serve, they have. So for those that have been around the horse show business and whatever, different breeds, different breeds have different kind of ways of entertaining, you know, the people at the shows. The Morgans is a horse breed. Mm-hmm. I feel like they do a fantastic job always having parties, always having like get together. And so Friday night, the show actually ends a little earlier so that there's an exhibitor's party, they call it. They have a band. It's under a tent. There's a catering service, food, and then they had a great, they had a clam and bake, a clam chowder station, and then a lobster station, because you're in Massachusetts, you bring it in. It was unbelievable. But these are all people that remember Jacob when he was 4, 5, 6 years old. Every year we would go to this show and it was his birthday and we'd always have a big cake. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, can't believe he's 21. Wow. Let's buy him a shot. And at the bar, and Jacob's doing a shot. Let's buy him another shot. And then everybody wanted to stay until midnight, because at midnight he was officially turning 21. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, let's do more shots. Well, let's just say he was staying in the hotel with me. And so he was feeling great until we got in the car and it was time to go home. Well, then it just caught up to him.
This reminds me of a story that you told when you were really, 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 really early on. It might have been 99. And your parents were in the hotel room and you were trying to stay out with the guys?
Yeah, no, that was actually 95, 96, Year's Eve of 95, 96, because I got called up as an 18-year-old. And then my parents came in just for the day and they couldn't find a hotel room anywhere in Buffalo. I had a room with a king-size bed at the Marriott in Williamsville. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just, I'm like, you guys, I'm going to be out all night, stay in the room, whatever. And then at the time, if people of my generation and even maybe a little older remember, the Radisson Hotel by the airport on Genesee Street had a nightclub that was called, it was Kix Nightclub, I believe it's what it was called. And we all went there. Somehow they smuggled me into the club, right? The guys, and Jason Daw and Matt Barnaby and those guys all were like, Marty, you're coming in.
Somehow,
right? So we were there for New Year's Eve. And then by the time I got to the hotel at 4 a.m., I had been overserved, but that's okay.
Oh, boy.
I forgot my parents were in the hotel room, right? So I was like, oh, man. But they were leaving like an hour later. They were leaving very early, so it worked out. But the same thing kind of like there with Jacob. It's like now I realize how my parents must have felt that day when I walk into the hotel room sideways. You know, look, I was 18, so drinking age in Quebec was 18, but here in Buffalo, obviously, it was 21. So, but with Jacob celebrating his 21st birthday, the car ride back to the hotel was a little tricky. Mm-hmm. He got in the hotel, everything was fine, and we got back at like 1:30, 2 a.m., and I got him a pillow and a blanket, and he slept on the good old bathroom floor for a little bit. Until he woke up. Then he woke up. He goes, I need a coffee and a breakfast sandwich. I'm like, how are you surviving? And how are you hungry right now? Like, it's impossible. And got him a coffee and a breakfast sandwich. And then we went back to the show and it was all good. It was like me having 2 beers the night before and feeling a little like, I'm a lightweight, but still he was up and going and everything was fine.
Well, we loosely almost got to hockey there when you were referencing 95, 96 and being out with the boys. So I don't know. Should we try to go down that path a little bit here on Sabres Live?
We should probably go down the hockey path a little bit.
What did you think of the Connor Timmins pre-arbitration deal that got done?
Remember you asked me Friday, when do you think this gets done? I'm like, you're not going to go to arbitration, but it's going to get done like 48 hours before, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it was a few more days ahead of time, so they got it done over the weekend. But I that's totally good for me. So it's a 2-year deal, which I would think that you want a new player coming in that needed a contract. Like giving him a 1-year deal would have been a little like let's give him a 2-year deal Oh, I hit my button. Sorry.
You made me panic. I thought it was my fault.
I know. I hit the button.
It's usually my fault.
My microphone. So 2 years is fine. I think it's a little bit under what, like, I thought 2.5 million, right? So I thought anything between 2 and 2.5 million was going to be the number. It's totally fine. It doesn't break the bank. It's probably market value for him and for the position where he'll play, a third pair guy. You know, they're $2 million players now. That's what it is. So I don't know a lot about Connor Timmins. Like, this is a player that moved a couple of times. Like, I want to see what he has to offer. Could it be a really good valued contract? Yeah, it could be. Do I really think that it moves the needle one way or the other? Not really. It's going to be about Dahlin, Byron, Power, Kesselring. That's all that it's about, your top four. But I think it's a good spot to start for Connor Timmins and the Sabres and see if there's a possibility after 2 years to continue the relationship. But that gives 2 years to figure it out.
Bakes was really excited yesterday, as he often is, but I felt like there was an extra energy. And I think part of it for the upcoming season, obviously. And but even just hearing you talk about Timmins that way, there's been change, clearly. But there is just so much uncertainty. And uncertainty allows you to think two ways, right? Not enough. The negative default for many people, right? Yeah. Or when you look at the potential of actually finding stability, improvement, and in the form of some players, you're seeking greatness, right? I mean, you're hoping that Tage gets that much closer to 50.
Yeah.
You're hoping that Rasmus Dahlin gets even more votes for the Norris, right? After finishing top six. These are the things that you hope for. But the unknown is still incredibly fascinating here on the 29th of July, given, you know, how's it all going to work? Backline, up front, who plays with whom? So I don't know what was that kind of vibe like for you yesterday around a lot of people that undoubtedly were asking?
Well, I think that the number one thing that it all came down to, again, was can they keep the puck out of their net? And Connor Timmins as a third pair is going to help stabilize. Look, they tried Connor Clifton the last couple of years, and I liked Clifton, and I thought he was a nice guy and everything, but it didn't really work. And he mentioned about how he lost his confidence and all of that. But, okay, I think that start fresh with Connor Timmins, and maybe that's with Matthias Samuelsson, and that's your third pair. And okay, let's a couple of bigger guys that can add that length and maybe some physicality and some defensive focus to the game, kill penalties, whatnot. But most fans were like, you know, I don't think that we need to worry about replacing the goals from JJ Paterka. It's going to be about not giving up so much and not giving up goals. And so I think a lot of everything is on the defense and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Most people were like, do you think if Luukkonen doesn't play well, Lyon can be the guy? I said, Lyon can be the guy for short term, right? But I think if you are hoping to get 40 games out of Alex Lyon, you're pushing it, right? It could be, but you're pushing it. That would not be plan A. Plan A would be Luukkonen is 52 and Lyon is 30. That's 82 games, and that's plan A. But if you have to go to plan B and then kind of rework something, but most people were, look, the question was, is this year the year? That was always the question. Is this year the year? And there's a lot of fans in that, you know, Dunkirk, Fredonia area that make the trip to Buffalo to come to games. And they're hoping that it's all about keeping the puck out of your net. And maybe they listen to the show a lot. That's because that's the drum I've been beaten, right? That keep the puck out of your net. Don't finish 30th in goals against this year. Because it doesn't matter if you're top five in goals for. If you're 30th in goals against, it's not going to work.
No. The one thing that that Chris and I were talking about yesterday that would be newer in yours and mine discussion here. The fact that with the Timmins deal done, they're basically middle of the pack now in the NHL as far as salary cap is concerned, which, you know, for some people is a fixation. Well, they gotta get up to here. They have to spend every dollar, yada, 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 right? But we know that's not true across the board in the NHL because you have teams now way, way, way lower than them and have tons of room to spend, but there's nothing to spend it on. So I'm not going to go buy a case of water for $24 when I can buy it for $3.99, right? Like 100%. You're not just going to use up the remaining cap space to say, hey, we've used up the cap space. But the reality is they have $5 million left. And Bakes and I were wondering, you know, does this still put them in a place here over the next month where they look at pursuing in a futures deal, shipping out prospects to bring in, let's say, a $5 million player?
So I wouldn't do that. And I think what the Sabres are setting themselves up is to be able to make something drastic, dramatic, whatever you want to call it, late October, early November, if the season doesn't start the way they want it to start. We talked about the Sabres have 10 of the first 14 games at home in the month of October, start to the first week of November. Mm-hmm. So you start the season 10-4 or 9-5, you're going the right direction. If you start the season 5-9 or 4-10, then all of a sudden you're like, we got to change something. And maybe that's, we got to do what Colorado did last year and bring in another goalie. Well, if you're going to go money out, money in, that kind of handcuffs you a little bit. But if you can go, okay, we don't have to go money out, money in, and we can add a prospect to be able to go get somebody. Mm-hmm. Boom, you have that flexibility. Maybe that is an injury that you're dealing with early in the season that you have to replace, and you have the $5 million. I understand people when they say, well, you know what, the Sabres are one of the lowest teams, like they're 28th or 30th in, you know, money spent, and you look at the cap space and all that. This is not the case this year. This is not the case at all.
Right.
And it's a year where the cap went up big time. Mm-hmm. And they are only $5 million under the cap right now.
Right.
You're looking at teams. What is it?
What's that?
I thought you said something.
No, I was agreeing with you in the sense that, and if you just want to look at the group that they're with, I mean, like, just go to Puckpedia and see that, you know, they're like the same as Ottawa, which puts the middle of the pack, and they're within $1.5 million either way of a lot of teams. And
Colorado, Vancouver, Toronto, like, and again, they're right there.
It's always going to be different for every team and for vastly different reasons. For some, like the Panthers, it's ultimate success, but there's also teams that spend right up to the top that haven't had the success. So, and then they've got the, like, it's just, I'm just really curious now, you know, whether they see an opportunity to acquire somebody that has a salary. You know me, I tend to scoff a little at insider suggestions and rumors like, oh, watch, all the stars are going to sign short-term deals. Like, yeah, okay. Tell me about the Mitch Marner deal again. Like, honestly, like, it.
We never see, like, sign and trade. Well, we saw it a couple of times this summer.
Noah
Keandre
Dobson,
Miller was one of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at. So there was that suggestion in early July, summer of trades. Like, come on. I'm literally speaking out of both sides of my mouth here. Like, I started this because the Sabres still have $5 million in cap space. And, like, who wouldn't want a trade to talk about for the entirety of the month of August?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I'm also realistic, and I've been around at this so long, it's like, not going to be the summer of trades. Give me a break. Well,
there's again, like, what if start the season and Luukkonen's not going well, and you need to do something, okay? You want Levi to send Rochester. Lyon is going to be your, you know, but you need to do something. You have $5 million in cap space. You could go get a $5 million goalie, and he can start tomorrow night if you wanted to, and you don't have to worry about it because you have that flexibility. But if you had $1 million in cap space because you went and signed somebody for $4 million or whatever, now all of a sudden, you can't go get $1 million goalie because that's not going to fix the problem. So you got to say, okay, we have to take a team that's willing to take Luukkonen or somebody else to be able to flip dollars in, dollars out. Right now, if you wanted to get it done and a team's like, we don't want a goalie in return, that's fine. We have the space. We can take that. If it's a forward, same thing. Hey, defensively, we're good, but we're not scoring. And our power play is not there. And we have to make a move late October, early November. Okay, well, we call a team and the team's like, yeah, well, we already have too many forwards. We don't want to take a player in return. Mm-hmm. We'll take a couple of picks and we'll trade you that player. Oh, okay, that's fine because we have the cap flexibility. Like, and I'm not saying they have $12 million in cap space and $18 million in cap space. That's not the case. $5 million. That just gives you the flexibility early in the season to be able to do something without having to say, how's that going to work with the cap? Money in, money out. No, it's there. You have some wiggle room to be able to get it done.
Well, you get wiggle room when you get into the 10-game flex plans that are available now because obviously it's your choice and you can choose from 10 home games this season and get the home opener included in your plan at no additional cost. So get the savings off single game pricing, playoff priority, and more. Sabres.com/flex, like Marty was doing on the links yesterday. Yeah. Choose your games there. Sabres.com/flex. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Maybe team of the day coming up.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are back, the duo that typically hosts this very program, but not for long, Marty. You're punting me tomorrow, and I'll return Thursday. Us. So big day. This is the teaser. Very, very, very big show tomorrow. So big, I can't be a part of it.
Well, it that, will see, be
that,
on
like,
location.
Let that linger for a bit. Like that should make you wonder, like, hey, what's going on that I, like, can't be a part of this? Which may cause many to rejoice, quite frankly.
I don't think so. I don't think so. The fans yesterday, Duffer, were like, I listen to you and Duffer all the time. That's great. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm missing the show today. They're like, yeah, we're missing it too because we're on the golf course. And then I'll be back tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Duffer is not going to be part of the show because we're on location, Quebec Center. So that's why it's going to be a very, very big show on Wednesday, tomorrow. So tune in at noon because
we're going to try and get it together twice in a row this week on Thursday, Friday. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen, but.
Well, we're going to give it our best shot for sure. So
I'll be in a different state for Friday's show.
State of mind or state of location? Both of them.
The
after
both
a day
of us.
Off on Wednesday, you'll be in a great state of mind and different state. Well, good. Well, I'm glad. You're about as far west, southwest that
I am now.
You can go.
I am. In fact, I wouldn't have to travel too far to see that actual signage, which I have seen before from my travels down here, where it says, you are in the southwesternmost part of the United States.
Oh.
Yes.
Continental United States, because...
Correct, yes.
If you're in Hawaii, you're a little bit further down, but yes,
have you been to Hawaii? I have not been yet.
Yes, I have been to Hawaii. I went to Maui and Kauai. So those are the two islands that I did over there. Kauai is very remote. Listen, I rented a Jeep and we're like, we're going to go on a ride. Well, I went to the one side and then the road ends and then you go back the other side. And so, but it was beautiful. It was fun. And Maui was a beautiful place. I played golf the one day in Maui, rented clubs, went out on the course. And it was back when, you know, you had the cameras that you had to go get developed, right? So we're talking about like early 2000s. It wasn't a disposable camera, but it wasn't one of those film that you put in that were in a round, like it was advanced. And I was just going through some of picture boxes and trying to sort it all out this summer. And I took a picture of every hole from the tee box that day that I played in Hawaii because the scenics were unbelievable. It's like oceans around you the whole time. So, I got to play golf in Hawaii, got to enjoy some time over there. Great food. Last day that I was in Hawaii, we're on the beach, and I'm like, man, this guy looks familiar. What? Wait a second. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger on the beach right there. And he was literally like just scanning where his kids were on in the water, making sure everything was good. And then a few minutes later, we're in the water. And then all of a sudden, this blonde-haired kid, like 8 years old, flew woo right over the top. And I'm like, what the? And it was Arnold picking up his kids and throwing them like as far as he could in the ocean. And I was like, well, that's the Terminator. Like if he picks you up, you're going to be going flying. Like it was pretty cool.
Did you hate your 5-iron when playing in Hawaii?
No, I actually had a great, well, number one, there was not a lot of people on the course. So I played by myself, which was, you know, I just flew through. But number two, they got me like these really nice, they were tightless golf clubs, like a whole set. And they know a lot of people travel without their stuff and then they want to rent and they want to rent something nice. Mm-hmm. So I had a beautiful set. I remember thinking when I got back home, I bought the exact same set. I'm like, it was so good over there. I'm buying it.
Yeah.
It didn't work as well over here.
No, it's funny how that works, but it's a nice feeling when you're in the moment and it's just like, oh, I don't know. It renews your love for the game. Now, you were renting, Carolina was buying. They're the team of the day, and they purchased for a long time, Nick Ehlers, and they also took care of an awful lot of business. Not in goal, mind you.
Nope.
I mean, they did earlier, like before it all, you know, came to be, free agency and all the rest. They'd already locked up Freddie Anderson, obviously. Mm-hmm. Still have Kochetkov. Probably still have, I don't know, at last count, like 12 goalies in the system.
They traded for Caden Primo, so it's they believed that he could be a factor.
They were feeling like, oh, the stable's getting empty. We better bring Primo in here to make sure.
I know, seriously.
Carolina doesn't require a lot of prep, I don't think, when talking about them as team of the day. Everybody seems to know where they've been, which is always in the playoffs with Brenda Moore as their coach, but they're never able to get over the hump despite these consistently good regular seasons. Now they've locked up young pieces in the last few years. Really, it's been a consistent, like, even though there's been change, obviously, at the GM position, there's been consistency through Aho and Svechnikov, and now Jarvis is emerging as like a face of the franchise, and you bring in Stankoven, and you bring in Ehlers this offseason. You change the defense core in the sense of Keandre Miller is going to be there for a long time. Mm-hmm. What does it all mean, though? I think that's the only real question here for this Carolina team. Like, what does it truly all mean? Do people sit here on July 29th and say, you know what? Carolina, in my opinion, is finally looking like the best team in the Eastern Conference.
So it's interesting because what is the identity of the Carolina Hurricanes? Like I sat down to do my research on the Canes and their lines and the numbers from this past year. Where can they go this year? And I thought, hey, you know what? The Canes had a really, really good season. Probably the best seasons that they've had over the last few years. 2 years ago, they were 111 points. They dropped to 99 last year. But I still feel like that team that they had last year is a fantastic team. They tried to trade, you know, for Mikko Rantanen. They tried at the time. Funny enough, Marty Natchez is and was the only Carolina Hurricanes player that averaged over a point a game last year with Carolina.
Yep.
Sebastian Aho, 74 points. He didn't get to a point a game. Seth Jarvis, 32 goals, but not a 60-some points. Marty Natchez was their best point producer. They traded him to Colorado to get Mikko Rantanen. Rantanen was traded to Dallas for Logan Stankoven. Stankoven signs a long-term deal. And I'm like, they keep just plugging along. But if I was to answer what is the identity of the Carolina Hurricanes, I would say hard to play against, right? Defensively responsible. Well, you know what? They were ninth in goals for last year, and that's with a 25th overall power play. Imagine if their power play was top 10. They would have been top three in goals for. They can score. They have the players. Aho, Svechnikov, Jarvis. They've got a really good, like, nucleus of players that can score, but it's still not their identity. It's still, I believe, Rod Brind'Amour and the way that they play, and to be hard to play against is what Carolina is building on. But they are a team that have a lot of talent.
Their depth scoring should be the best in the league.
Yes.
Now that Ehlers is there.
Jackson but, Blake is a
well,
guy.
Well, this is the thing. Like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, when you look at who they are, what they have, like, get used to it. Everybody is signed forever. Aho, Ehlers, Svechnikov, Jarvis, Kotkaniemi, even Taylor Hall got 3 years for crying out loud. He's barely played for them. You still have Jordan Martinook and Jordan Staal for two more years, despite, you know, Staal's advanced age. Martinook's not that far behind him.
Hey, Eric Robinson's got 4 years. He had 31 points last year.
Last year, like, obviously one of my top five players in the league, not statistically, one as far as players I like, Will Carrier, right?
Yeah.
Got 6 years last year. Six.
Yeah.
So now you got him and Robinson and Blake and Stankov. I'm not kidding you when I say this is your forward group, like, forever, for the foreseeable future for the Carolina Hurricanes. And they have been a really interesting patchwork to a certain extent on their blue line over the last number of years. But even there, you find now consistency with term in Miller and Slavin and Walker, and to a lesser extent, Gostis, Baron, Chatfield. Like, Marty, nothing is changing with this group. But I led in with it. They also didn't change their goaltending. And while Freddie Anderson could almost have a case for, like, Hall of Fame type numbers, if he had all the numbers, meaning longevity and greater health, but, like, his wins per game played are elite. But does anybody think they can actually take the next step with Anderson and Kochetkov? Are they going to be able to overcome that? Should I even be talking about their goaltending as potentially a concern here?
It is all about health for Freddie Anderson. And I love Freddie Anderson. He was one of those goalies that I thought, you know what, short term, if the Sabres wanted to maybe say, let's bring in somebody, Freddie Anderson was at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. And then he re-signs in Carolina. And he re-signed a very, very team-friendly one-year $2.75 million. I'm like, come on. He could have got $4 million, $5 million somewhere else on a one-year deal. Like, the Sabres probably, and Flyers and other teams would have looked at him and given him twice that money on a one- or two-year deal.
He could have got it from Carolina. All of what we just said, they still have over $10 million in cap space.
Yes. Like, Eric Tolsky, their general manager, took a swing and a miss with Mikko Rantanen, was able to turn that into Logan Stankoven. But the work that he's done, you know, be able to work a sign and trade for Keandre Miller. Jacob Slavin is thought of to be one of the, if not the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League, was 8 in Norris voting last year. Rasmus Dahlin was 6, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about Slavin. Slavin was in the top 15 of Norris voting 6 of the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a consistent defensive defenseman. And I believe that, especially with the Four Nations face-off, everybody was like, hey, he's one of the best, right? So now you add Keandre Miller. Their defense corp is whatever. Rod Brind'Amour, Duffer, he's going to be entering year 8. He's got a 325, 160, and 49 record, okay? Of all the coaches that have ever coached in the National Hockey League, he has the highest win percentage. Mm-hmm. Not point percentage, because Scotty Bowman is ahead in point percentage and whatever, but he has a 609 win percentage.
Yep.
That's number one in all the coaches that I've ever coached. Well, I mean, if you coach one game and won, I get it. But I'm just saying, legitimate coaches, he's number one. That's the identity of that team. That's Rod Brind'Amour. That's what he's been able to do. Put consistent, successful teams. And I, people again, yesterday, golf tournament. Is this the year for the Sabres? I'm like, okay, let's look at the eight teams that made the playoffs last year. Who's coming out? Mm-hmm. You know, people were saying maybe Ottawa, maybe Montreal, whatever. Nobody said Carolina. Carolina is going to be in the playoffs. Carolina is going to be a top three teams, maybe a top two teams in the Metro. Mm-hmm. And they're fine. They're safe for me.
They also have, you know, what they hope is that next star defenseman in Alexander Nikishin. Like, you don't want to put, you know, too much there. But, like, for all the consistency of their contracts moving forward, and we, you know, what just went through them all on forward and defense, the kid is going to be a fascinating watch here. And he walks into a situation where they are consistently good. It's a perfect scenario for him. We saw him in the playoffs last year. I, Marty, I love how they're constructed. I just don't know if they could beat the Panthers. Like, that when you think back to that series, must have been absolutely maddening for Rod Brind'Amour. There were moments where they looked the part.
Yeah.
And then it all just, you know, they would have these windows, these short windows where it would implode. And it was like, this team is better than this. What is happening here? Right. So they have a huge hurdle to clear, despite how good they are on paper and, quite frankly, on the ice year in and year out.
Well, so we talk about the depth up front of Carolina and how Eric Robinson and Jack Roslovic, who's not there anymore, but in the season he had, Will Carrier being there. Senko. But if you're going to go line by line, right, and if you're going to say, okay, we're going to look at Ehlers, Aho, Svechnikov, and they're going against Verhaeghe, Barkov, and Reinhart, okay? I'm going to take Florida Barkov line. And then we're going to go Jarvis, Blake, and Hall against Bennett, Tkachuk, and Rodriguez. I'm going to go Florida. And third line is Lundell, Marchand, and against Staal, Stankoven, Martinuk. I'm going to go Florida. Every line, I'm going Florida. I love Carolina, but I feel like Florida add one more at every level.
And then you're going to do the same thing with the defense pairs, and you're going to do the same thing with goaltending. I know.
It's good.
I know.
But is it good enough?
Well, you got one commercial break left. Come up with a better narrative for Carolina and their hope tank for this coming season. When we come back, Marty will have that answer, verbiage, whatever, here on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Flying through here to the end of the show, and Marty, I've seen a lot of shows, live music the last few days, and a lot of Ozzy t-shirts, but really only one true tribute to Ozzy in the form of a song by Hailstorm, who performed it on Friday night at the Forum. Can you guess which Ozzy song it was?
Well, I would think like Crazy Train, but like that would be the one that I would think like, okay, somebody would do a really cool, you know, tribute to Ozzy by doing Crazy Train in the beginning and all of that. But I have a sense that it's something that I would not think of.
Right. And it actually ties in with Carolina, because I was asking the question, like, what can they do? How can they make this work? And so the song, Perry Mason. It's like, who can we get on the case? We need Perry Mason. Carolina might need Perry Mason here to get this thing all figured out and get past Florida or whoever is going to stand in their way in the East.
A little bit of a newer Ozzy song, right, from the mid-90s. So that's good. I like that. Okay, what do you think Carolina, in my book, is number one in this department in the National Hockey League?
Shot differential.
Well, shot difference, absolutely. But in tailgate experience is what Carolina, if you ever go down to a game to watch the Sabres, make sure your tailgate is a fantastic area for that.
Tailgates don't always lead to ultimate success, sadly.
No.
But they're fun in the moment. We'll try again tomorrow.